Welcome to the Gut Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thank you so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word for you. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Good to see you guys. Honored to be up here again. It always is. We were over there worshiping, and Pastor Bill leaned over, appropriately timed, and said, man, it's hard to give up the platform. And I was like, you want it? Like, I tried to give him back the microphone. But it's always an honor to be able to do this. And I think the last few times I had an opportunity to speak, he wasn't here. And I realized how nervous I get when he's actually here. I'm a 42-year-old grown man. I think we might even had an argument a time or two in life. And I still get nervous. But I want you to know that we honor you. We love you. And I can probably speak for everybody who gets to get up here and speak that it's an opportunity we don't take lightly. So thank you, even when you're in town, for letting me do this. I appreciate it. But I'm excited in life right now, and I don't really know why specifically yet, and that's kind of why we're going to talk about this message. But for a while, I feel like Beth and I have been in transition, like years. And then I look back, and it's like it's been like seasons of transition within transition. But I sense something shift in the last couple of months in our own life, in my own spirit, in my own heart, and I don't know what it is yet. And I think I've maybe have referenced this before in some past messages. Do not expect you all to remember that at all. But anytime I think about transition, I think about the Israelites coming out of Egypt into the wilderness and then into the promised land. Joshua chapter 3, there's so many different lessons and so many different ways that we can look at their experience. But I want to read that as a launching piece or a text this evening and make a few points. And it's phenomenal to me because I wasn't sure if I was really going to include this or not up to the last moment, but it's almost what we just sang is going to be reinforced here. And I believe that God wants to speak to somebody, some people in the room tonight in a way, because there's an alignment to that. And there's been no orchestration or coordination between me or the worship team. I was just very at awe, if you will, on the set list tonight. For some of the things that I think that God has for us. But in Joshua chapter 3, verse 1 through 4, it says, "Early the next morning, Joshua and all the Israelites left Achia Grove and arrived at the banks of the Jordan River, where they camped before crossing. 3 days later, the Israelite officers went through the camp, giving these instructions to the people. When you see the Levitical priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, move out from your positions and follow them." The Ark of the Covenant in the scripture, in the Bible, represents the presence of God. So in essence, when you see the presence of God move, get ready to move from your position and follow it. Go after it, is another translation, the New King's Translation. This is New Living. "Since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. Stay about a half a mile behind them, keeping a clear distance between you and the Ark. Make sure you don't come any closer. Leave space. Leave space between you and the presence of God. You've not traveled this way before. The priests came up to the bank of the Jordan River. They had to step into this. They have the Ark of the Covenant. They step into the river. And at that moment, it's a step of faith because there's still water in the river. They take a step into the river. The water begins to back up. It becomes dry land. They move to the middle of the river as instructed by God. That's where they stand with the presence of God as the Israelites, God's people, move across into the plan and the purpose that God has for them into the promised land. And then the Ark of the Covenant comes from behind and follows them. But they first started by following the promise and sometimes, or the presence. Sometimes I think we get so focused on the promise, and understand my heart on this, that we forget about the presence. And it's the very presence of God that leads us to the promises of God. It's amazing how the story continues. If you go through and read in Joshua chapter 6, it's time to go take the city of Jericho. And I want you to pay attention to the order of this. Something begins to change. The instructions become, I want you to send armed men first, then the worshipers, then the Ark of the Covenant, and then there'll be a rear guard. The presence of God moves from leading to being smack dab in the midst among his people as they go into war. I believe the Old Testament, we teach this, we believe this to be true, that it's a type and shadow of the New Testament, the New Covenant. This is a picture of what you and I have in our lives today, that the Holy Spirit is in, it's among us, it's among his people, and he is smack dab in the middle of whatever situation that you're going through right now. If you're in a transition, if you've got opportunity, it could be a good thing, it could be a struggle, but God is right there in the middle with you, and I want to tell somebody tonight that you need to pay attention to his presence, because he is going to lead you to the promise. Because you've not been this way before. It's not going to be how you got there last time. It's not going to be conventional wisdom, but there is a unique route, there's a unique way, and the very presence of God is going to lead you to the very promise and the purpose that he has planned for you. Say it, pay attention to the presence. You're going to get the promise, pay attention to the presence. It's the presence of God that leads us, and he guides us. In the new covenant, we have this. We have access to the Holy Spirit 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Do we say 24/7 anymore? I've realized I'm like, we're there in life. We're not cool anymore. So we have access to this. The decisions in your life require an attentive attitude, mindset, a focus towards the presence of God. Don't get out in front of him. Let's not get impatient and miss what God has for us. Let's focus on his presence. Follow the presence. How do we do it? How do we know if we're following the presence? How do we know if we're following the leading of the Lord? And I'm sorry, Rachel Peters, I hate to steal somebody's thunder. I know how that feels, but we didn't coordinate. Where's she at? Okay, she's serving like a servant. Okay. But it's pretty cool that she's about to start a class, but I'm going to do my best effort to teach a little bit on the Holy Spirit. Since we have short attention spans and we do service orders of 20 minutes and it's only a part of my message, this is going to be really hard to open up the can of worms in the Holy Spirit and get somewhere. So forgive me if I leave some holes out there. But what you can do is come to Second Mile starting tomorrow night and listen to Rachel Peters break down the Holy Spirit and all the dynamics. We like that, Travis? Okay. So we were created in the image of God, right? What is God? He is a spirit being. We are spirit beings. We're created in the image of God. We're spirit, soul, and body. We're a three-part being. When we die, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. This body is a shell. We're going to leave this here, and then we are going to go, our spirit man, the real you, who you really are. Now, this is kind of weird, but hang with me. I'm going to bring some understanding. The real you is going to go to heaven, and the shell that we live in now will be here. This is how God interacts with us. Let's look at Romans 8, 14 through 16. There's a difference between preaching and teaching, and this is going to be feeling a little bit more teaching tonight. I honestly like preaching sometimes. It's a little bit more fun. I feel like it's more exciting, at least how I interpret this. I might be wrong, but tonight's going to be a little bit of teaching. So let's listen. Romans 8, 14 through 16. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his children. Now we call him Abba Father, for his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. This is how God interacts with us. We are a spirit being. He is a spirit being. He connects with us at a spiritual level. I also believe that God speaks to us through thoughts. I'm going to explain how these connect here in a minute. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. The spirit of the man is the candle of the Lord, searching the inner depths of his heart. What does a candle do? A candle brings light. It illuminates. It shines light on issue. God uses our spirit. It's a lamp that shines light into our being. It helps him to reveal our nature to us. Are there things in our heart? Are there things that need to be corrected? Are there things that he wants to affirm and confirm in our lives to encourage us? This is how he interacts with us. Helping us to see who we are. God, reveal to me. It reveals things in our own lives. If you've got an issue, man, you're struggling. You know something's off. Something was just inwardly off. God, reveal to me what is wrong. Why do I feel this way about this person? Why do I feel this way about this situation? Man, the wisdom from God will flow. He will begin to show you. He will begin to reveal it to you because our spirit is the lamp of the Lord. A lamp also guides. It provides direction. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. The Holy Spirit, the very presence of God, is our guide. He leads us and guides us into all truth. He lights the path beneath our feet. He is a guide in our life. This is another way that he provides direction. How do I know that I'm being led by the Spirit of God? How do I know how to follow the presence of God? I'm going to give you some practical applications here in a minute, but let me lay some scriptural foundation. This is how the Holy Spirit revealed to the apostles, to Paul, the very revelation of the gospel message. I don't have time to read all of this context, but we're going to jump into 1 Corinthians chapter 2 just real quickly. We're going to pick up on verse 9 and understand there's great context above this. You can go read it by yourself. You guys know this verse. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us. That's you and I. We're us, the apostles, through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. This is where it gets awesome. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Remember, this we just read. He knows the things of God. The Spirit of God knows the things of God. This is the same Spirit that we now have, that we might know the things that have been given freely to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. We have access to the very Spirit of God. When we are looking for direction in our life, when we acknowledge his presence, we seek him out. He is faithful to lead and to guide us into that. Oftentimes, I believe it comes in a form of thought. It gets an idea, but it also can be spiritually discerned. I know it's like we're getting deep, but it's Wednesday night, so I felt a little bit safer going here. Spiritually discerned. He speaks to our spirit. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. A sense in our spirit. You begin to sense something. I remember we were teaching our kids how to, and we still are. It's not like they're there yet. Right now, I think mom and dad are the Holy Spirit in their life until they prove that they have some maturity in this. But we're teaching them how to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. How do you hear the voice of the Lord? How do you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit? And so what we do is we blindfold them. And then we just beat that. No. We blindfold them, and then I'll get two sets of keys, which keys aren't like popular anymore. It's kind of weird. So it's like, how do you find like keys, you know? So we'll have two sets of keys, and depending on the number of keys and the size of keys, what the keys are made of, all that stuff, they sound different. And so we'll blindfold them, and they love doing it. It's like a game. And I'll say, okay, jingle, 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 jingle. This is the Holy Spirit. They can't see the keys. They can only hear the keys. And then the other set of keys, jingle, jingle, jingle. This is the voice of the world. This is friends. This is people. This is every other voice in your life. And then they've got to walk around the house trying to follow the right set of keys. And so we were teaching Logan this a couple of years ago. He's 10. And so it's probably 9 to 8 years old, something like that. And he goes, so you're telling me that I'm gonna feel it in my jellies? I don't know, I'm telling you that. But you're gonna get a sense in your jellies, in your gut, in your spirit being. There's a peace that hits you that's gonna guide you. He guides us through the Holy Spirit. He guides us through his word. The more you know God's word, the more you're gonna be in line or sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit in direction and following his presence and what he's doing in your life. Our heart, Pastor Bill taught on this or mentioned it the other day, our heart is a combination between our spirit and our mind. You hear people say, I feel like God spoke to my heart. There's a sense that, man, God's doing something. I feel like, I think I sense this. And we pray into that. God, reveal that to me. God, show that to me. Man, he's going to begin to fill you with his thoughts and his ideas. We go and seek counsel. We seek counsel against his word. Does it begin to align? Do you feel? And it's a process that we grow as we mature in the Lord and in the word, of learning how to follow the presence of God in our lives to make those very specific decisions. Because sometimes the word isn't super specific, right? Like, have you ever asked the question, I want to know what to do in this situation? Man, it's the leading of the Lord. It's the leading of the Lord. How do we know? How do we know? Man, I think this is, but how do we know? I'm going to give you three takeaways of how we know, and there's probably more, but these are my three for tonight. There's three takeaways that we have that I believe we can be 100% confident that this is the leading of the Lord. Number one, it will always glorify God. always glorify God. Glory, doxazo in the Greek, to leave a favorable impression of God. It's going to leave a favorable impression on your life and the life of others and every situation. It's going to glorify him. John 16, media people, forgive me if I'm missing verses and going. John 16, I'm going to read it to you because it's not going to be on the screen more than likely unless they can get there. We're going to go 12 through 14. There is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. So these are some of the roles of the Holy Spirit. Pay attention to this. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard from me. Remember, we've got God's Spirit. He's telling us. He's speaking through his Holy Spirit and revealing it to us. He will tell you about the future. He's going to show you things to come. He's going to forewarn you and forearm you, prepare you for what's out in front of you. You're going to start getting that sense. You're going to be ready. And he will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. It will always glorify God. The second thing, it's going to align with his word. Maybe not super revelational for a lot of people in the room. Kind of obvious. It will align with his word. The Holy Spirit and God's word are going to agree. Because it can get flaky, fluky, weird, all the other stuff. We bring it back to a grounded place where it's like, man, is this, can I tie this back to God's word? Can I link this back to God's word? If you can't do that, man, I throw caution. I would seek counsel, all the above. Is it found in God's word? Does it align with his word? It'll always agree with his word. The more you know his word, the more confident you will be in sensing the leading of the Spirit because they're going to sound the same. So there's no substitute. Well, Pastor Bill, you were teaching on 2 Peter 1, 3, somewhere in there. We grow in his grace and we grow in his peace through the knowledge of him. There's no substitute for it. So we come here and right now we're feeding. This is feeding. We're spiritual food. You have to become self-feeders of the gospel. You have to become self-feeders of the word. It's time to grow and to mature. The world we live in today, the demand, well, let me say this, the opportunity that we have demands of his people to become self-feeders, to know the word, and to know the leading of the Holy Spirit. There's such big opportunity. There's a shift that has taken place. And even outside the pandemic, a course pandemic, there's just a shift. There's a shift that's taking place, and we have to know where his presence is. It's time to get in shape. It's time to get dialed in. It's time to trim the fat. It's time to tune the ear and follow the presence of God, because we are going to a promised land that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered the heart of man, but he's going to reveal it to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know what point I'm on, but I think this is point three. I'm not as organized as I once was because I wasn't sure what was going to happen. Point three. It's always going to be peaceful. The leading of the Holy Spirit will always be peaceful. Now, peaceful does not mean comfortable or easy. I've had some of the most difficult conversations and have been in some of the most difficult rooms of my entire life and have had to do some of the hardest things ever, but have been at peace doing it. Peaceful will not be comfortable. It will not be easy, but the leading of the Holy Spirit will always be peaceful. Jesus said, I did not come to bring peace to the world, Matthew 10, but I came to bring a sword. So if we're looking at our world and we're looking at the situation around us to determine if we can be at peace, that's a misunderstanding of peace. As a matter of fact, I think maybe the direction we might be going in the world, there might be less peace in the world. But what does the Bible say? Let's look at John chapter 16. Or why don't we reference Romans 14 real quick? The kingdom of God is not what? Eating and drinking, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Peace in the Holy Spirit. John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In who? In him. In me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. He didn't come to the world to give peace. Peace is in us. The Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called the sons of God. Romans, can't remember the chapter right now. For all of creation is awaiting for the revealing of the sons of God. Who are the sons of God? Peacemakers. How are we peacemakers if we don't live and operate in peace? The world is waiting. He's waiting, they are waiting for a body, for a group of people that remain, that abide, that dwell. Go read John 14, 15 through 16. That's how we get our peace and that our joy may be full. Our strength and our peace comes from remaining, abiding, and dwelling in Him, in His Word. Our mind is fixated, focused on Him. Isaiah 26, 3 through 4, you'll keep me in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord is everlasting strength. There's a shift that's happening. Let's follow the presence. We follow His presence. It'll always glorify God. It'll always align with His Word, and it will always lead us in peace. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Colossians 3, 14 and 15. Love is the bond of perfection. Put on love, it's the bond of perfection. It leads us through His peace. There's a shift that's happening and we've got to be able to follow it. Peace is like a compass. Sometimes it doesn't always give us the specific direction, but it gives us a general direction. Man, take a step of faith. Start moving that direction. Pray, think through it, talk about it. My dad taught me this when I was really little. He said, when you're trying to make a decision, I want you to envision yourself making this decision. You can talk about it with people, safe company. Pray about it, think about it. What sense do you get in your spirit when you see yourself going that direction? Man, if there's a check, if there's anxiety, if there's any type of ill, stop. Go this way. If you feel yourself sensing a peace there, you feel it, you seek counsel, there's a peace there, there's a support there, man, take it. Take that step. Just last summer, I bought my grandfather, who I never got to meet. He died before I was born, but he had a 1947 Jeep Willys. And so just real quick, I don't know how to do anything on a vehicle. Nada. I just learned how to take the cables off a battery a couple weeks ago. So, and I know how to fill it up, and I can drive it somewhere, and they can do stuff on it. So there's a couple, sweet couple in the church. I don't know if I see him tonight, but he does, and he restores old military vehicles, and so he's offered to help, and my brother-in-law. So I just sit there and get him food and drinks and stuff, and then they take care of this car. But I like driving it around every now and then. So if you ever see a guy rolling around in a canary yellow Jeep Willys, that's your boy. And we're going to restore it, I guess. They're going to paint it and make it look like military again. But if you have ever driven a vehicle without power steering, you know what I'm talking about? You know, only a few in the room can nod their head. But that is no joke. But what's easier about it is if the vehicle is in motion. And so God said, go and take dominion. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so when we're sensing His leading, I want to make sure my advice is, man, stay on your toes, stay on the balls of your feet, stay in motion, stay going. It's a lot easier to direct something that's in motion than sitting there and having to crank this massive steering wheel to get a little bit of movement because you're not knowing. I know a lot of people who are in midlife that are waiting for God to pull something out and they're stuck. They're not in motion. They're waiting for the Red Sea to part and everything else to happen. It's stay in motion. God's going to direct your steps. If you're not stepping, there's nothing to direct. So be praying. You can do something. You can pray. You can talk. You can start discerning. You can do something to stay in motion for the decisions that God is looking, or the decisions that you're looking to make in your life. And it's going to be, you're going to be led by His peace. Live on go. Live on go. If the opposite of peace, pray about it. The opposite of peace can be a great thing. You got a little bit of angst in you. It's like, hey, Lord, what's going on? Is there something here? Like, hey, I'm going to hold back. I'm going to hit pause. I'm going to tap the brake pedals a little bit. How many times you guys have rolled through life, didn't tap the brake pedals, and it's just like you went off and did it your own well, and then you're cleaning up a mess? That was me most of my first 20 years of adult. Man, tap the brake pedals, pray into that, and find that peace. I think it was Pastor Bill, Pastor said, they taught us, man, it's green light until we get yellow or red. Just live on green, live on go. But utilize the opposite of peace too and pray into it. Don't live there, don't live in anxiety, but it can be a moment to get you redirected. Matthew chapter 4, the apostles, Jesus said, let's cross over to the other side. The apostles, they get in the boat. You guys know the story. These are professional fishermen, okay? These guys have been out in the water before. They're with Jesus. The wind kicks up. The waves are coming into the boat. They're freaking out, right? Jesus is in the back of the boat sleeping. So he's not really that concerned. They wake him up. He stands up, rebukes the wind, rebukes the waves. They're kind of like, they're mad at him. The difference is Jesus was at peace. They weren't. The world around us, what's going on in the lives of other people around you, might be a family member, it might be somebody in your workplace, it might be society in general, doesn't dictate whether or not we live in peace. It's the peace in us. We have peace in the kingdom. The world, there's not peace. In the kingdom, there is peace. They did not experience peace until they acknowledged his presence. Jesus was present with them in the boat, but they didn't get access to that peace until they acknowledged him. And I'm just wondering how often we are going through life sometimes and we have the access of the Holy Spirit, but we're not acknowledging his presence. And it's not until we acknowledge and we activate his presence that we get to experience that peace. And instead of being transformed by the renewing of our mind, we find ourselves being conformed in anxiety and worry and fear because of the situations around us. And I'm not even talking about economy, I'm not even talking about the pandemic, but you know how there's some people with some drama in and around you and all of a sudden it starts affecting your life? Don't allow it in there because they need you to be that person of peace. We have to acknowledge his presence. That was, I told Beth in the kitchen on the way out, I said, I don't know if I've got enough points, but if there's one point tonight that I know what the Lord wants us to hear, it's follow his presence, acknowledge his presence. He's leading us and he's guiding us in all truth. He's leading and guiding you into truth right now. Whatever decision point you're in, acknowledge his presence. It's gonna glorify God, it's gonna align with his word, and you're gonna have a peace in your jellies. Is that good? God, we just thank you for your word tonight. God, I thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. God, your peace that you left with us. The gift of the Holy Spirit allowing you to be omnipresent, God, in each one of us, having access to the Holy Spirit. God, I'd pray for people that are dealing with anxiety right now. God, I just pray for a spirit of peace over their minds and over their hearts. The word says, let your gentleness be made known to all men. Let your gentleness be made known to all men. That the Lord is at hand. God is at work in your life. Be at peace. Be at ease. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication. Let your requests be made known to God. Whatever anxiety you're going through, give it to God. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness in our life, God, to bring peace to every situation. God, I thank you for every business deal, every opportunity. God, those that are staring at great opportunities in front of them, God, I thank you that you protect them. God, you surround them with the right people and keep the wrong ones out in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for a ready word in season for those who are in transition. God, I thank you that you are leading them by your peace in the name of Jesus. If you're in here and you've never given your life to Jesus before, I know this was maybe a different message. I just want to see your hand. You want to get your life right with God. First time, maybe you've never done it before. Say, God, I'm just off track. My life is a mess. I live in anxiety. The Bible says that he is the Prince of Peace. You just want to give your life to the Lord. Get your life right with God. Here we go. The Bible says the Holy Spirit comes to the world to convict the world of sin. It's a gentle conviction, but he draws men unto him. It's another role of the Holy Spirit. Teaches them. Would you all repeat this with me? God, I thank you for your Son. Today I choose to make him the Lord of my life. I turn my back on sin. God, I'm running after you. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Help me to acknowledge him. Help me to follow his lead. God, I thank you. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I have a new mind. There's a new way of doing things about me. There's a new spirit about me. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. Love you.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.